Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Time and Attention, the podcast about making you a more productive and intentional human being. I'm the co-host of the show, Chris Bailey, along with the host of the show, wife, across the table from me. This is episode number 127, Rising Early.
I'm not the host. I'm just here for the ride.
Everybody always emails me, say, oh, you call your wife you call yourself the host, and what's your wife?
Well, they should listen to the podcast. They know I don't accept the title of co-host.
You're deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's your...
Deeply.
It's your... This podcast is your baby. I'm just along for the ride.
It's your baby, too. Baby?
Yeah, I suppose.
It's your baby, baby. Speaking of baby, I guess, Taylor Swift, the new album is out, lighting up all the charts. What do you think? Out of 10, give it a rating.
What a weird transition.
It was
not
harsh.
Sure I followed the logic there at all.
Well, she lost her love.
Her love. Okay. Yeah.
Her
still,
baby.
I'm going to give you a 0 out of 10 on transitions.
Okay.
But I'd give the album a solid 7. Some of the songs I love, give them a 10.
Some are so depressing, though.
Yeah. I don't think I've listened to the entire album since the first time we played it.
Well, there's 31 songs on it, too.
Yeah, but some I love. I don't know.
Down Bad.
Yeah, we've been listening to it on repeat all weekend.
So if we sound depressed, that's why.
But normally, so you and I have this very long-standing pattern where we both love the same musicians and the same albums.
Yeah.
But we always like different songs from an album.
Yin and yang.
Yeah.
Combined, we like the whole album.
We like the whole album. But this one seems different, where we actually are both obsessed with the same song.
Yeah.
So all weekend, we have been repeating that one song.
Yeah. Down Bad. Mm-hmm. And there's a productivity song on it.
There is.
Less people think it's a diversion from the podcast.
Fun fact, you just need to be really heartbroken to be productive. That's what I learned in this album.
Maybe if you're Taylor Swift. He could write 31 songs. I can do it with a broken heart.
Yes.
It's another...
Maybe in the future we can do an episode on how to be productive with a broken heart, but no, that's not really what I'm...
I hope not.
No.
I hope not.
No, no.
What about a lack of sleep, though? You woke up quite early today.
Yes. So this gets us
Why did you wake up early?
Yes, this gets us to our topic. Our robot vacuums have been waking me up so early.
They're so loud.
And I've actually been thinking, so lately you've been going to bed earlier. And I think this actually brings me to maybe a point I wanted to make later in the show, where my morning, like the time I wake up, is kind of anchored to you. And I think that's like everybody.
Yeah.
Part of what factors into when you wake up is the people in your life. Because if you have kids, if you have a partner, whatever, different kinds of jobs, you'll be waking up at different times to accommodate that. And I think my natural wake up time adjusts a little bit with you, and you've been going to bed earlier and earlier lately. So I've also been waking up earlier and earlier just because I tend to like waking up a little before you, because if we go to bed around the same time, I don't need quite as much sleep as you. And so I get like an hour of alone time to myself in the morning, which I love. But our robot vacuums have been starting at like 6 in the morning, and they just are
I set them to do that.
Loud.
And I set them that way.
Did you change the time or something?
Yeah, because the sunrise changed, and so I have it go with the sunrise.
It's so early. But
it's pretty early.
The last little while, I've been thinking, like, why am I waking up consistently before my alarm? And it probably took me a week to realize, it's the robots.
Yeah.
They're so loud, and they're waking me up. So right now I'm having some really early mornings, and it's actually affecting my like average sleep time. So we need to fix this.
I'll change it after we record the pod.
Now that we've sourced the problem, we can fix it.
What's your kind of ideal wake up time?
7.
7?
Maybe 6:45.
I'm like 7:30, 8.
I'm not sure. I have probably set a different time on previous episodes of this podcast. Right now, at this point in my life, my typical wake up time, I'm naturally awake around like 6:50. And I realized this, so you were away a little while ago and I was waking up at around that time without an alarm because I was naturally going to bed around like 10:30 or 10:15 or so. And I think in the past, especially during COVID, I found myself going to bed later, but I also think that was because you were going to bed later. And so it's a natural, like you just kind of drift a little when you're not an isolated unit in the world.
Yeah.
You drift with whatever's going on in your life.
When you're integrated.
And during COVID, we were both working. We both just really liked working late in the evenings. Yeah. I still love working in the evenings. But I found that last semester, I also taught in the evenings. And I didn't find myself writing or getting productive in the evenings after teaching. And so I would naturally just, my day would be over by 8:30, which is earlier than it was the previous term. So even in the last little while, I think with teaching and you getting up earlier, I'm naturally waking up a bit earlier now.
Yeah, same. And we've talked quite a bit about kind of our biological prime time, which is when we're wired to perform. And we all have a different chronotype. Some of us are early birds. Some of us are night owls. It's a normal distribution. So most of us are in the middle. I think we both fall kind of in that middle part of the distribution. Yeah. The juicy kind of middle part of the bell curve. Maybe you're a bit earlier than I am.
The juicy part of the bell curve.
Yeah, you can use that in your classes. And we walk people through calculating this. Episode number 113. We walk you through calculating your biological prime time. So there's a few different ways to calculate it. We won't go in because we have that kind of pin that bookmark to that previous episode. You can scroll down and access it. But you're right. It is that kind of normal, or I guess I'm right because I said this, but it is that normal distribution where most of us fall in the middle. And there's this whole idea around being the early bird that gets the worm. You're rolling your eyes from across the table as I say this. And it's a thing in productivity culture as well. There's, I forget the name of the book, Robin Sharma, is it the 5 a.m. club or the 5:30 club?
I don't know who wrote it, but there is a book out there called the 5 a.m. club.
What do you make of this whole... Dare I say revolution? No, we can't say revolution.
No.
But what I think of it as, it's kind of like a sepia tone fantasy for how you believe your days should go. You know, kind of this imaginary goal that sounds great on the surface, but then you do it and you realize at some point that you're not hosting a morning show.
Yeah, I have a few thoughts on this because I think the 5 a.m. club and the kind of obsession that some people have with this idea is there are two things driving this. There's one that this works super well for some people, which is great. If that works for you, awesome. I also think that this is more of a symptom rather than the root cause that we're trying to like celebrate. Where the 5 a.m. club, when it works really well, this idea of like getting up super early and making the most of your morning, that works super well for some people because it's this like, you carve out this like really deep thinking, focused time, which is what, if you're talking about productivity, that's the goal, right? Are you good at carving out really deep, focused time?
That deliberate time.
Yeah. And if you can do that at 5 a.m., awesome. Kudos to you. And I think for many people, if you have family obligations and a kind of more standard 9-to-5 job, the 5 a.m. thing is actually probably where that time is going to be most feasible for you, right? Because you aren't going to have demands on your time from your loved ones, from your colleagues, from your boss or whatever. And so naturally, we end up gravitating to this idea that the 5 a.m. club is the only time that you can have that kind of dedicated, isolated time.
Because no other time would possibly work.
But that's the thing. For others, like you and I, we find ourselves in a very different setting where we both have a lot of autonomy over our schedules, which we're very fortunate to have. We also don't have children or any kind of like other family commitments that require us to dedicate like very specific schedules to that.
We have Eleanor. So,
she's the most easy. That's our cat for the context.
People know. Unless they're tuning
into your first episode. Yeah. Eleanor is our cat.
Welcome to the podcast.
And so because of that, we are able to adapt our schedules so that we have the most, we can focus our, like carve out those focus times, those really, what did you call it? Deliberate or intentional?
Deliberate time.
Yeah. Deliberate time.
Yeah.
To other parts of the day where maybe we have more focus or more energy. And I have tried so many times to be the 5 a.m. kind of writer, and I am just not. Like I spent a lot of time in my PhD really trying to do the 5 a.m. thing. And even at times when I would have to wake up at that time to work with folks in Africa where I was doing field work at the time, 5 a.m. just doesn't happen for me. That's not good. When I'm like really focused and sharp in writing or analysis or whatever other parts of my work that I do want to spend time on. So I find that that biological prime time happens for me later in the day. And so the mornings I treat very gently and that works for me. But I think this is like all productivity advice. Some people evangelize certain ideas and say you have to do 5 a.m. wake up time.
Everybody is this way.
Yeah. And I think the actual, the bigger takeaway for any productivity advice should be, think about the process that people learned that, what worked for them, right? Mm-hmm. So for you or, and you general listener, not you, Christopher, the takeaway when you're talking about early mornings should be, well, actually, what are you, what is the goal with an early morning? And how do you actually figure out what like the root of the, the benefit is for you?
I think it comes down to two things that we've kind of been circling around a little bit. The first is biology. So we are hardwired in a certain way to have more energy during certain hours of the day. Now, that's just the way we function, right? Some of us have a lot of energy in the evening. Some of us have an incredible amount first thing in the morning when we spring out of bed. And remember, it's that normal distribution. So most of us likely fall in the middle. And then we have, so biology is the first and constraints is the second. And I think productivity is so often a process of understanding the constraints that we do have. And working around those and within those, so family life, like you alluded to, that can make morning hours more productive. Even if you're not wired in a way where you have the most energy then, that's when you have the most time, and that's when you'll have the most attention. And so even if you don't have the most energy, those two other factors can outweigh it. If your team is geographically distributed, maybe half of your team is in Europe, half of your team is in North America, alongside you. And so you can clear out all the emails you got overnight and just hunker down on doing work with the focus team that's based in North America. That's another constraint that can dictate the ideal time of day for you. So maybe waking up a bit earlier, right? Maybe waking hours 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. might work better than 6 to 10 or 7 to 11. But it really comes back to that level of deliberateness. You can do the exact same things in each of these days, right? You can perform the, like, let's say you lived on a deserted island somewhere and you took the exact same actions between 5 to 9 one day, 6 to 10 another day, 7 to 11 another day. You'll probably, the biggest thing that will differ in your productivity won't be how you spend your time or attention, but it'll be your energy, right? So it really is kind of that dance between constraints and biology, but really it's all about deliberateness too.
Hmm. So what do you like to do in the morning? Like if you are, so I guess the purpose of this chat today is to talk about why there's this obsession with early morning routines. Do you have an early morning routine? Because we've been actually doing something together every morning.
Oh, I love this. Yeah.
We've been meditating every morning at 8 a.m.
8:05. 8:05. To be specific.
Which is weird.
But you can set an alarm for 8 a.m. and then go downstairs.
Yeah.
That's kind of the reasoning. But we could move it back, I guess.
8:05.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
What do you think of this routine?
I love it.
Why?
I love the anchor. And I love the accountability that comes with that anchor. It's kind of like, we were watching a design video the other day and like biggest mistakes people make when they organize their home. And one of the mistakes that this, what's this guy's name? Nick Lewis?
Yes, Nick Lewis.
Cool. So one of the mistakes that he says a lot of people make is you have a lot of just stuff lying around. Like picture your bathroom countertop. You have like a lotion bottle here and a makeup remover over there and like a HomePod mini over there and this over there, that over there. And it looks like a mess. But if you have like a nice plate or something like
that. Calls them a drop zone.
A drop zone. Yeah. Yeah. Even better. You can put all those things on that kind of drop zone and it looks organized simply for the fact that this mess of things is now kind of anchored to that one drop zone that's on your counter. And I love that the morning meditation is kind of this drop zone of accountability that can anchor other habits to it. So that's kind of the morning routine. I've never really had a big morning routine because I feel every day is so different. Some days involve a lot of travel and, you know, that'll disrupt things and I have to rush off to do a talk somewhere. Another day I'll be on retreat and so that'll be predefined because there'll be a meditation schedule, for example, or it'll be a writing retreat. So I'm hunkered down at the equivalent of a cabin in the woods somewhere. But it really does come back to that deliberateness, I think. And one study that I captured before we started recording, and I tried to find the research article that he referenced in this TED Talk. I couldn't find it. So if you can find it, please send it. But it's Russell Foster's TED Talk. And he's a world-renowned circadian neuroscientist. And so he studies the rhythms of the body, of the mind. And the talk is called Why Do We Sleep? From TED Global in 2013. And what he has found is that there's no difference not only in our productivity, but in our socioeconomic standing based on what time we wake up at. So it really is that level of deliberateness while accounting for our constraints and our biology. Yeah. So this whole waking up early thing, I don't know. I think it's kind of like symptomatic of something that's wrong with a lot of productivity advice out there, which is whenever somebody's giving blanket advice, you should probably question it because it's personal productivity, right? And our personalities are different. Our days are different. Our biology is different. Our preferences are different. Our work is different. Everything is different between us. There are some commonalities, like the way in which our brains are wired in a lot of different ways. But when so much is different, you have to question the things that say everything should be the same.
Yeah. I mean, even if you've listened to this podcast for as long as we've been doing it now, you know that probably me more so than you have oscillated on this particular topic, probably quite a lot. I know in the past I have been more of a morning person and then circumstances changed and we weren't in the middle of a global pandemic and I did have a more regular 9-to-5 job. I don't have a 9-to-5 job, but I have a job that I do need to be like physically at the campus at certain hours.
Yeah.
And meetings tend to fall within that time frame. But so I have a little bit more of an anchor that way. So lots of things change and my natural wake up time has shifted. But I don't think I'm ever going to be the kind of 5 a.m. person, but some people are. And so if you are one of those people, kudos to you. Enjoy your 5 a.m. before the whole day wakes up. In the evening, I love it that I can bike home and there's no one on the bike paths because it's like 11 at night sometimes or 10 at night when I bike home from work.
If you wake up at 5 or 4, the next time you wake up, tomorrow morning, as you open your eyes and you breathe in the day, think of me. I'll be asleep for many more hours, and I will be enjoying that time so much more than you could ever imagine.
And you can think of them when you're still awake at 10 p.m.
Yeah, writing away. But like with all productivity advice, take what works, leave the rest, know your constraints, understand how your biology factors in, and don't feel guilty about the time you wake up at. I feel that that's another thing that this advice does is it makes you feel guilty about waking up at 7:30 when that's maybe just when you wake up. It's all about your level of deliberateness after you do. So keep that in mind too.
And one final thought before we wrap up today is also, I think calling yourself a morning person or a night owl or whatever you want to label yourself as puts you a little overly restrictive into a box. Like if you wake up one morning and like, I know I've had days where I wake up at 5 a.m. because I have some deadline or something and I want to get ahead on it or whatever. And I feel so productive and I think, oh my gosh, am I actually a morning person? Well, maybe not. Maybe I just rustled up the energy that morning because I had a specific deadline. So I think it's just also important to not overly prescribe to a particular typology because you think that's one is better than the other. Recognize some days you might not be a morning person, even if you are on average a morning person. There's variation across people, but there's also variation within people.
Oh.
So you can have days where maybe you are not the perfect morning person, even if on most days you are.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, rising early? Meh.
For some people.
Meh. Yeah. for some people.
But try the morning meditation.
Yeah.
We've also been loving that. So.
It is handy. So if you do struggle with that morning routine, have an anchor with somebody else, preferably. Have that kind of structure around that morning routine, and you may end up enjoying it more than you had originally anticipated. But yeah, time and attention. That was a weird meow.
Sound like our cat.
I just held the mic up to Eleanor. But yeah, timeandattention.fm is where you can find all of the episodes of the pod, and as well in your player of choice. Now, episode number 113, that was the one about our biological prime time. Know your constraints, know your biology, know how you're feeling that day, that awareness that precedes, should precede pretty much everything we do productivity-wise. So that is it. We'll see you in a couple Tuesdays.